Welcome.
Story to Dismember. You're hanging out with me, your host, Aaron. And I am here with my two co-hosts, Ariel and Azriel.
Hey.
Hey.
Hello.
And this week, we are continuing our theme of resurrection movies, resurrection horror movies. And this movie was picked by Azriel, and it is the 2015 movie, The Lazarus Effect. You want to let us know why you chose this movie, Azriel?
Well, basically, I had a hard time trying to think of another resurrection movie aside from, you know, like Evil Dead was the first one that came to mind. So I hadn't seen this movie yet, so it was on Tubi, you know, available for everyone to watch.
Shout out.
After listening, so that's why I figured it'd be a good one to choose.
I gotta apologize, Azriel. When you had told me Lazarus Effect, I got it mixed up with another movie.
Did you?
And I was like, oh yeah. I was like, oh yeah, that movie where it's like a found footage movie and it's like about a government experiment.
Yes.
I was like, what was that movie? It's The Banshee Chapter.
Oh.
I'm so sorry. Because I put on The Lazarus Effect and I was like, ah, shit, this isn't the same movie. I've never seen this one. So I'm surprised I never saw The Lazarus Effect. I have no recollection of ever seeing it before. So I thought it was, you know, I was quite surprised to see Evan Peters and Olivia Wilde.
I know, right?
So my apologies for confusing you, Azriel, thinking that you're going to go into this as a found footage movie.
Well, I thought back after I finished, I was like, the one scene with the security cameras, I'm like, is this the found footage?
I was like, I was thinking of something else completely. Yeah.
And it was kind of a conspiracy, so...
No, the other one is more conspiracy heavy because people go missing, but they are like injecting stuff into their brains. There is some similarities there, but it's a completely different movie with no known actors.
Okay. Hilarious.
All right. Well, this was my repeat viewing for me, I guess you could say. I don't know how many times I've watched it. I've seen it more than twice. So I remember back when it was first came out, it looked pretty cool, but... I'll let you know my thoughts at the end of the movie. I don't want to give away too much right now. And since we are covering, or this is Azriel's movie, he is going to be the head doctor and take us through this experiment.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll just go, I guess, real quick, who's in the movie.
Who's who?
Who's who of the Lazarus Effect. All right. So we got Mark. I'm probably going to butcher his name. Duplass. As a Frank, Dr. Frank, Olivia Wilde, Zoe, Evan Peters is Clay, Sarah Bulger is Eva, Donald Glover, Nico, Ray Wise as Mr. Wallace. And then there was only like one other notable one. Maybe it was the Dean, Amy Aquino, which I only know who from like Curb Your Enthusiasm.
That's what I recognize her in. She looked so familiar. I couldn't put it. Yeah.
She acted almost the same.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what really tied it in for me. I was surprised that Childish Gambino was in this.
Yeah, no.
Because I didn't look up anyone. I just obviously recognized Olivia Wilde. And I always forget Mark Duplass from Office Space. But then I was like, oh, more and more people started showing up. I'm like, wow, this is actually a pretty star-studded cast.
And every time I see Ray Wise, he always reminds me of like the devil. Like he's like the perfect human form of the devil.
He is. He was in Twin Peaks, right? He played the dad.
I think he was in Twin Peaks.
Yeah, I thought he played the dad of the daughter that I forgot her name. I'm terrible on the spot.
And he did play a double in that TV show.
Laura Palmer's dad.
Laura Palmer. Yeah, exactly. Mr. Palmer. He does play, like, he does look like he could be a very convincing devil. And I think Azriel, you were going to say that he did.
Yeah, there was a TV show. I think it was only maybe one season.
Reaper.
There you go.
I used to love that show.
Yeah, it was only one season, I think, but that was a good show.
Yeah, it was a good show. Ray Wise just had a small part in this movie. Wasn't too big.
Right, yeah, I was hoping for more. I'm like, is he popping back up in the movie? But yeah, very short.
They couldn't afford him for more time.
That's all we can afford him.
Half a day, one scene. There you go. I'm out.
He's like, my bad guy budget has increased now that I've been the devil.
Have you seen my credits on the devil?
All right. So the movie, and kind of going back to what Ariel mentioned about, I thought it was the found footage because it, you have that little like a grainy camera image view. It was black and white.
Is it like a research camera?
That's what it looked like, but it was like so zoomed in you really couldn't tell like it's like an amateur camera person or if they dropped the camera. Or kind of like at the end of the Blair Witch when the what's her name's in the corner or he's in the corner. But yeah, it sounds like they're operating on somebody or there's doctors perhaps working on somebody and you really can't tell what's going on. It sounds like they're using a defibrillator and they're just getting, you can hear the audio and the flatlining. And then as the camera comes to view, you'll see it's like a pig's head and it has some type of harness over its face. And then I think they mentioned something about it that didn't work. And then the movie just jumps ahead to St. Paternus University, which is supposed to be in Berkeley, California. So the first two characters of the movie, we have Dr. Zoe. So it was Zoe McConnell, and she's walking in with the other character, Eva. So she's talking to her about the grant that they got and about a confidentiality agreement. Eva gets introduced to the rest of the researchers working on the Lazarus serum, which we had Nico and Clay. So Eva's in this scene, she's kind of like the camera girl recording, and it seems like they're perhaps maybe doing like a video explaining the project. So you have Dr. Frank Walton and then Zoe, and who later we find out that they are engaged to each other. And so in the video, they're just, you know, they're discussing, you know, the Lazarus effect and but the serum was created by Zoe and that it requires a machine, they call it the pulse array, and they use electrical charges to activate it. And then the serum is administered to, would be administered through this external arm that comes out of the machine. Kind of reminded me of the device they use in the Matrix that they would plug in, but the serum goes to this and they inject the serum into the temporal lobe of the patient. And I think Frank does mention that the whole point of the serum was to help coma patients. I'm assuming, I think if they were brain dead, to reactivate those cells.
I think he did say something about that in prolonging, like if they have a critical patient, they can prolong their life long enough so they can save them. So they don't, if they pass while they're working on them.
Okay. Yeah. He mentions that.
Yeah.
So then we kind of catch up with Zoe again in the lab. She's by herself. It appears to be late at night. And we do see, we do get various like live camera feeds from the security cameras and all the hallway. It's pretty dark in there. So it appears that she's by herself. So she's got some, I don't know, opera music playing. And at one point the music just stops. So when she turns to look behind her, like did something happen to the record player? We kind of get a real quick glimpse of a shadowy figure standing in the distance. And then as she turns back to her workstation, she gets startled by Nico, who had snuck up on her wearing a pig mask. So then Zoe and Nico are now just eating. I think they were eating sushi. And it's kind of a brief scene that they have here. And Nico, he appears to seem to be, you know, interested in Zoe. And he starts inquiring about her and Frank's relationship and how it's been going. And she basically tells Nico that since this Lazarus project started and then, you know, they got the grant money, that this has been basically Frank's priority and that their relationship has kind of been on the back burner for the past 3 years. So then Zoe just kind of basically cuts this short and tells him that, you know, Nico, she has to get back to work. So then the next scene we jump to the group is all together in the lab and, you know, they're kind of brainstorming at this point, trying to figure out what's causing, they said there was like a breakdown in the lipid bilayer. So they're kind of going over what they think could be causing it. Clay, it looks like an e-cigarette. I'm assuming it had he must have had something. I don't know, it was like a, what they call it, dab pens, or if it had weed, like the liquid CHC. But you know, he's kind of just puffing away, and then he just comes
up. It does seem like he is smoking weed because he has like a stoner moment.
Right. I thought that initially, and then I was like, well, maybe it's just a vape pen. But then there's like a few other references later on, like it has to be weed in there or something, or liquid THC. But yeah, he just kind of has like a, like, I don't know, moment of clarity, but he has introduces the idea or theory that if they introduce, he said, potassium selective insulator, that this could possibly stop the breakdown in the, he said, lipid bilayer. So they decide to test out Clay's hypothesis and test it on a cadaver dog. And as they're doing this, the test initially fails, and it looks like, you know, nothing happened with the dog. And then all of a sudden the dog like just is reanimated, jumps up to life, and seems to be, you know, a normal dog again. So Zoe starts assessing the dog, and she notices that aside from it came back from the dead, the cataracts is gone completely. So at this point, Frank, you know, seeing that the serum is possibly working in, you know, an animal, tells the team basically to stay tight-lipped about the experiment. And Frank decides that, you know, him and Zoe are going to take the dog home to monitor it. Back at the house, or at Frank and Zoe's house, Zoe does mention that to her, the dog does seem a little weird, but, you know, Frank just says that it did just come back to life. It's probably in like a state of shock, and that it's going to, you know, probably take just a few days for it to return to normal. And then in the middle of the night, Zoe's sleeping alone, and it looks like her door, which was slightly open, like opens all the way. And then the dog just gets on top of the bed, and I was waiting for the dog to attack her, but it just kind of stands over her, stares at her while she was sleeping.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So the dog is like fairly aggressive, you know, at this point, and kind of snarling at people. And it seems like the dog is kind of, I don't know if it's snarling at her, but it's kind of like stalking her, right, while she's asleep.
Right.
I couldn't tell, like, is this dog, based on like the movie's title, is this dog one of those like Frankenstein's monster where it's kind of interested in its creator, or do you think it's just an aggressive dog that, because it doesn't actually attack her at any point in this movie, right? So I'm like, maybe the dog has some loyalty to its creator. I don't know.
I thought the same thing, because I was like, what? I couldn't figure it out, and it's not really I guess explained, right? Aside that they just point out that the dog was later we find that it's was like the hyperthyroidism was causing it, part of the aggression.
Yeah, the aggression, and also like the hunger. I guess the dog was like really hungry, but you're right, they never really went anywhere with it, so I don't know if maybe there was like a scene cut out that would have explained that part.
And like you said, the dog never really mauled anybody. I think the one scene that I skipped past is was that back there when she had the dream of the house?
Yeah, so when the dog is looking at her when she's sleeping, she is having that dream where it's like a hallway that's on fire. There's a door at the end of the hallway with like smoke coming out from the bottom and people screaming. And it's really quick. There's really not much to it except that. And then we see the dog standing over her. And then I think when she wakes up, the dog isn't there anymore.
Yeah, it was a quick scene, though, that dream sequence. Yeah, so back at the lab, Frank, Zoe, Eva, they're... Yeah, Frank, Zoe, and Eva are at a table, and they're discussing near-death experiences, and they start talking about DMT, and that, you know, when someone's about to die, that their body's being flooded with DMT, which your body naturally produces. And from Frank's basically has a viewpoint that, you know, these experiences are, he's taking more of a scientific perspective, and that, you know, when people were saying that they had a vision of God or these spiritual visions, that it's just the DMT causing a massive trip. Whereas Zoe's has a more spiritual viewpoint, and she believes that the DMT that's being produced is there just to help the soul of the deceased cross over into the spiritual realm. Which I did think this scene, they kind of did, like Frank really did go into like a lot of detail about DMT and.
Well, because he mentioned that the Lazarus serum actually is based on DMT, the compound. So I think it is like super. He probably did a lot of research in order to develop, co-develop the serum. But it's one of those things where he's trying to, I guess, prevent brain death, right? If the brain is like hyperactive when the brain is technically dead, it'll prevent it from, you know, cell death. And I think also with the dog too, they noticed in the like CT scans and the results that the serum actually went into the dog's bloodstream, which I guess it's not supposed to pass the blood barrier. So that was something different about the dog that they hadn't seen before with previous experiments.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Frank said that the serum should have been gone, I think, within a few hours. And I think, yeah, as I was looking at the scan, Clay starts to question like Frank's decision of bringing the dog into their house. And then he starts talking about, he makes a reference to Cujo, like the killer dog in the movie from Rabies, that hyperthyroidism, one of the symptoms is like extreme aggression. So then I think that we jump to Clay now is working in the lab by himself using that same record player that Eva was using earlier. However, he chose jazz music this time. And it looks like he's, maybe like the munchies. He's got chips. He's got, like a drink, and he's about to play a video game. And the music, or there's like a loud crash that comes from the other room, and the record player stops. So he goes to investigate what's going on, and he finds the refrigerator doors are wide open. You got food all over the floor. And then he looks back at the crate where the dog was supposed to be, which I think the dog's name, they named it Rocky, but the dog's gone.
I like how they make the Cujo reference in this movie.
Yes.
I thought that was funny.
Which it was, I think, Rabies, right? Yeah, for Cujo.
Yeah, I think it was.
So as he starts looking around for the dog, and I think he initially looks under like the exam table, and then he's startled because at this point now the dog's on top of the exam table growling at him. So he kind of falls back, and you know, when he tries to look again to see, the dog is like quickly disappeared, and then the dog is like next to him again growling. So then we jump to, you know, him trying to explain what took place with the dog to Zoe, Eva, and Nico. You know, he's trying to assure them that, you know, he wasn't high, that, you know, he really saw what was happening, or that it was real. And as Eva was cleaning up the kitchen area where all the food was, and then she points out that the items that the dog had gotten into were on the top shelf, so that there was no way he couldn't have gotten to them. Yeah, so perhaps the serum is giving the dog some abilities.
Or perhaps Clay was setting them up and playing a prank on them.
Ooh, perhaps. So then we're back at Frank's house, and he's audio recording or documenting trials that they've done so far with the serum. And he talks about the three phases of development, pointing out that the serum didn't leave the blood like it was supposed to after whatever 2 hours. So things weren't going kind of how they thought they should be. So then we jump ahead to now Frank is going back to university, and he gets informed by, I think it was a security guard tells him that he needs to go speak with the dean. And then this is when Frank finds out the dean is aware of the experiment that took place. She tells Frank that the experiment was basically a violation of the grant agreement that they used to get the funding for the serum. The dean also makes a couple other points that, you know, that he basically lied on the grant, and that they got the money under, you know, false pretenses, saying that Frank said it was the money was going to be used to find a new method for it was arresting neural decay in coma patients. But, you know, Frank doesn't think that he doesn't feel that he lied, and he uses the defense that, you know, he was kind of following the path of other scientists who made their discoveries by accident. So then we go back to the lab, and this is when Ray Wise's character, Mr. Wallace, comes in. He's got a team of workers from Krylonis Pharmaceuticals, and they come inside and they just basically start collecting everything. Like, they took the computers and looks like they start taking vials, paper, anything involving the serum. They start taking it and they inform Zoe basically that, you know, the intellectual property is now theirs. And Zoe learns that Warner Gross Biotechnical, which gave them their grant, basically is now falling under control of Quilanus Pharmaceuticals. So then we jump to the group now trying to figure out, you know, how everything happened. How did the dean find out? Who made the anonymous tip to, I believe it was to the review board. And I think Zoe initially accuses Eva that perhaps she tipped them off since she was the new one coming in. She was a kind of the outsider. And that Frank starts coming up with a theory that he believes Krylanus was behind the anonymous tip to the review board in order to turn a profit, you know, realizing the progress that's been made on with the serum, that they can make a lot of money. So Frank has the idea to duplicate the serum, and we find out Zoe, she had an IV bag of the serum. And in order to get into the building, you know, they find out that Eva kept her access card, so she still had access to the building. So they end up sneaking back in. Well, Eva goes in with the dog, saying that she was working late, and then she goes into the garage to give them access to bring the rest of the group in. So the team starts getting, you know, the lab prepared. As they're looking, you know, they have Nico kind of being like the hacker to figure out what they can do with the security camera system. And I thought it was kind of funny. Zoe asks if he can do kind of a loop, which would kind of remind me of the movie Speed when he said loop the tape so they can get, you know, the passengers off. You know, she asks him that and he's like, why don't I just turn off the security cameras? And he has on his laptop, Nico does have it set up to where he can see the security guard. So in case anything, if the security guard gets up, because they said they basically knew his routine, how he makes his rounds, so you know he can give an alert. So the team basically starts setting up, and they have cadaver dog in a bag that they use, and you know, so they got everything set up. Eva's getting ready to record, and right when Zoe goes to, you know, throw the switch to give it power, you know, the power goes out. They think that they just blew a breaker, and then they learn that Zoe was electrocuted.
Okay, so I had a confusion about this scene. There was a scene earlier when they did the experiment where she took off her necklace and her ring, her engagement ring. And then I don't think in this scene that she did. So was she like touching something, or like when they like switched the breaker on, was that the reason why she got electrocuted?
Yeah, I know.
She had her hands up, like she was like touching something above her, and I wonder if the ring on her hand was the reason that she got electrocuted.
Yeah, it had to be. Because I remember she took it off, and she did put it like in a petri dish in the first experiment.
Yeah, and it was pretty obvious that that was significant in some regard with the whole ring and necklace. I mean, the necklace is like a cross, so that comes into play. But I thought that was very interesting. I was like, wait, why was she the only one that got electrocuted in the entire room?
Yeah, I couldn't. So she did touch. Yeah, because it was her left hand. So, yeah. Which she didn't have the necklace on, though, right? I don't think she did the second time around.
Oh, I'm not too sure.
Yeah. See, I don't believe she did because, which that comes into play. But they do go through the process of trying to, you know, resuscitate her. And, you know, they realize that she's gone. Nothing's going to bring her back. You know, as Frank is next to her body, he takes her hand and you can see where her finger has been fried, I guess. And he takes off the wedding band and he's looking at it and he gets the idea. We can use the serum to, you know, bring my fiance back to life.
Don't do it.
So, don't do it.
What could possibly go wrong?
Sounds like a good idea, right? If it worked on a dog, it could work on a human. So, of course, the team is, they're all against it. It's obviously, he shouldn't be doing it. That they're given they're gonna, you know, get in trouble. That, so he basically, you know, he'll do it alone, and so he gets everything set up. He's, you know, he starts to insert the injector, I don't even know what you would call it, temporal lobe gun. But he starts loading it into the side of Zoe's head. And initially, I believe they didn't get anything as they're, you know, they have Eva on the switch. She's throwing it every time and they're not getting anything. And Frank keeps telling him to increase the power. While they're doing this and they're arguing, they're going back and forth. They don't want to do it. You know, Frank is telling them, come on, you know, to do it again. Nico notices that the security guard has now left his post and he's making his rounds. So they turn the lights off and they hear the security guard coming finally. So Frank covers up Zoe and they all hide as the security guard's like literally right outside the research room. And he does stand there for a while too, which I thought maybe he was going to try to step in and look around, but the security guard just kept on. So they go back to, as Frank goes to look over at the exam room, he notices that Zoe is now sitting upright with the sheet over her. And, you know, he cautiously walks over to her and removes the sheet, and she's just kind of staring. You know, he's
the scene is so freaky.
It is.
When she's like sitting up and the sheet's over her. Oh my God. This movie has so many good jump scares that aren't actually jump scares.
Right.
Where I'm just like, oh, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen.
Yeah, she's just kind of like staring forward. She's got her mouth open and I think he goes to move and she grabs his arm like real quick. And then she starts to question, you know, did I just die? And Frank is, you know, he's kind of doing an assessment of her. He covers up the injection site. And Clay, at some point, he walks in and starts, I think he asks her if she had seen anything, or Eva came in and asked if she had seen anything. And for a brief second, Zoe has a flashback to the nightmare she had of, you know, I think she sees the hallway and then there's like an image of something. It's like a white filter and there's like an object, like a person or a silhouette of somebody. But, you know, Frank kind of right away shuts it down saying, you know, we shouldn't be talking to her, like basically give her a break. So they put Zoe into the MRI, like they did with the dog, to check the brain scan. And Clay points out that her body is almost completely healed. But he's noticing that there's a large amount of neural activity. And, you know, Frank tells him that they're going to retest in an hour. And he says that, you know, once the serum has a chance to, you know, dissipate. And then Clay points out that, you know, that it didn't do it in the dog. Why would it do it in her? Why would it leave her system? And Frank says that, well, you know, she's a human, so it's different than being a dog. And there's a brief scene where Nico is talking to Eva about, you know, the human brain. When people say that you only use 10% of your brain, and he's saying that it's a myth, that you're only able to use 10% of your brain at a time. And that, you know, if you're able to use your entire brain, that, you know, I guess he's alluding to the fact you can have special powers or it can, which does come into play later. So this is a scene where Frank and Zoe are talking, and then Frank does, he give Zoe her crucifix chained back, and I think he had the ring. I think they were together. But he does tell her that, you know, this is the one and only time that he's going to go Catholic. And he was going to put, so he was going to put the ring on the finger, but obviously her finger where she originally had it on was burned. So he, you know, he drops the ring onto her necklace. And
well, wait, didn't they have to take it off in order for her to go into the CT?
Or
the MRI?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the room, he was going to put it back on and then he slid it over the necklace.
Yeah, he's probably like, I fucked this one up. I'm sorry, babe. Right. I know you said that if somebody ever died, not to bring him back, but come on.
I did it.
Because she pretty explicitly said, like, the dog didn't ask to come back to life. Like, are we bad people for bringing it back? And then he does that to her.
Right.
That's why when she said, did I just die? Like, it sounded really mad.
Right.
it wasn't a did I just die. It's like, did you just bring me back from the dead, motherfucker?
Yeah, they do kind of gloss over that. I mean, you did bring a human back to life. That's like a zombie, right? If you reanimated the dead.
Yeah, and especially somebody who already told you, like, how they feel about death and the afterlife.
Right.
It's not like one of those, well, we never talked about it, you know?
You never said not to bring you back.
Right.
I want to say that her voice did change a little bit when she realized that the crucifix is going to get put on her. Because she was laughing, but her facial expression wasn't matching.
She's pretty creepy and different at this point. Her voice seems deeper.
Yes. And after he put it on, she kind of like, she did like gasp or something. She jumped back a little bit. And then she does look, there was a table with a pin on it. And she's like, Frank can't see because it's behind him. But the pin does kind of like spin. So her voice did kind of drop at that point. And she basically finished, I want to say she finished his, she said what Frank was thinking. And Frank realizes that, okay, there's something really going on here. She can read my mind, and she kind of snaps out of it. Her voice does go between that low voice and comes back. And, you know, he's pretty nervous at this point. He sees that something's going on, and he's telling her, oh, nothing's going on. But he realizes that he messed up. I like the fact, like, right before he leaves, because he's trying to get out of there to figure out what to do now. And she's like, I love you, before he exits. All right, so we jump to Nico and Frank are discussing about, you know, what happened in another room. And, you know, Frank is, they're discussing, yeah, they're saying that, you know, they killed somebody. And they're talking about the, you know, look what happened to the dog, and that the serum, you know, it stays in the brain. And, you know, how they shouldn't have brought her back. You know, Frank is starting to say that, you know, he's going to fix it. Unbeknownst to them, Zoe, one of the abilities of coming back now with the serum in her body, she's able to hear them. So she can hear them in the other room, is everything they're saying. So they jump to Zoe. She's like in the bathroom, kind of cleaning herself up and going over the, she's looking at the like injection points on the side of her temporal lobe. And as she's looking into the mirror, the mirror kind of like suddenly shatters, and there's a face. I'm assuming it's just her. It's like maybe her evil side looking back at her. It's clearly like a bad side.
I thought of it as the devil on her shoulder, because it kind of looked like when she was looking at it, like it was on her shoulder.
That's a good one. I didn't think of that. Then the dog ends up coming in and starts growling at her. And we don't see what happens, but we do hear the dog whimper. So she killed the dog. So Frank's looking at some samples, or maybe a sample of her through a microscope. And Zoe interrupts him, comes in and tells him that, you know, she's not okay. And then she proceeds to vomit the serum up, which it kind of reminded me of Aliens, or the with the robot, that white milky substance that was supposed to be his blood. That's what it reminded me of. And she's telling Frank that basically, you know, that she's changing, that something happened to her, you know, after now the coming back to life. And she's talking, you know, she can hear things, she can see things. And she starts telling him about, you know, to look at her hands. And he tells her that there's, you know, nothing wrong. And then, you know, she proceeds to tell him that when she had died, she basically the dream that she had, she's just describing the whole thing again to him, and about how she was in the building, and, you know, she can hear these people, how they were stuck. You know, he's telling her that it's just a traumatic memory and that it wasn't real. And she basically said that she was in hell and that she was reliving this over and over again, this experience, which he said she was out, you know, she had died for like only an hour, but that she said it was, I'm assuming it felt like forever.
Yeah, she said
years. It was 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said we should only have for an hour. They start talking about bring up the DMT again and saying that, you know, she was hallucinating from the lack of oxygen, the DMT being flooded into her body. So Zoe's now resting in a room. Eva goes to check on her, and Eva exits, and she's we get to see the hallway, which looks exactly like the, excuse me. So Eva's now walking, or Zoe's walking down. No, I'm sorry. Eva.
You got it right the first time. Eva's walking into Zoe's dream.
I shouldn't look at these characters. Yeah, I have the pictures up and I'm looking at the younger Zoe right under Eva. Well,
and did she grab Eva's head and like that's how she teleported into her memories or her like hell? I don't know how that worked because all of a sudden we just started getting new powers.
They're just coming on. It's.
Yeah.
Evolving.
Evolving.
I mean, pretty soon she's going to be able to turn water into wine at this point.
Yeah, so Eva, she's down the hallway. She makes it all the way to that last door where Eva has seen the fingers coming underneath. And when Eva turns back around, she sees the little girl who was supposed to be Zoe. And Eva starts getting the visions of the fire. She sees the dolls burning and she can hear the screaming. And then right before she wakes up, there's like a shadowy figure that comes in and grabs her arm. So Nico and Clay go to the room, find Eva on the ground. She was screaming as she regains consciousness. And, you know, she describes what had happened, what she was seeing, and talking about the people in the apartment and the fire and how she could see, you know, the fingers under the door and how they grabbed her. And then they do notice that she has the imprint of the whatever grabbed her, the fingers on her arm. And then I think Clay starts asking about, you know, to Frank, you know, what's going on. Yeah, he starts demanding to Frank tell him basically what happened. And then Frank goes on to explain about when Zoe was a little girl, they had, you know, that she lived in an apartment and it had caught on fire and her neighbors, you know, were trapped, and how to this day, you know, that Zoe still has the nightmares about it. And that basically what Eva saw is what actually took place. And they're still trying to understand about how could Eva see what happened to Zoe in, you know, real life or in her dream. And Frank says that he's saying it's the DMT. They mentioned about the door wasn't open for her. They mentioned about Zoe. Okay. So they bring up about Zoe talking about after you die, your body creates, you know, the DMT, and that it helps your soul move on. And
mm-hmm. It's like the doorman.
The doorman, right. And they're saying, you know, Eva is thinking that, well, what if Zoe's soul couldn't get through and that she's basically trapped. She needs that doorman to let her through.
You know what would have been really funny at this point? If Clay was just like, I think we just all need to get high right now. And then they had some revelation or something. I think that would have been funny at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, why not just add more fuel to the fire, right?
Right. Yeah.
Were you guys picking up kind of like the end of the whole reveal of the movie at this point? I mean, it's kind of obvious throughout the film of what the whole scene is and, you know, the fact that she was, yeah. Okay. So no surprise there. And if you don't pick up on it, it's okay. It's fine. But it's very much like Firestarter.
That's exactly. Yep.
I was getting Cujo vibes. I was getting Firestarter vibes. I was getting Cabin in the Wood vibes, even though I think Cabin in the Woods didn't come out yet.
Right. He was just throwing everything into this recipe.
Yeah.
A little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Yeah.
So we do see Zoe, who was supposed to be resting, start levitating. Her eyes are like completely black, and you know, Nico is now looking around trying to figure out, you know, what's going on. You got the lights flashing, and she popped up behind him. She startled him, and she starts, you know, trying to convince him that she needs his help and that playing on his emotions towards her. And, you know, she tells him that, you know, he's the only one that she can trust. And then she goes in to like try to kiss him. And, you know, he tells him that basically she went through a traumatic experience and he's not buying or playing into her game. And she starts talking about, she's going over the whole building fire and that, and basically no matter what she did, that she still ends up going to hell. And then she basically just disappears. Nico does try to get out of the MRI room, but the door closes on its own. We do get a like a security camera footage view of her. Her eyes are black, and one of her other powers, she can control things. So she compresses. Does she force him into the cabinet? I don't.
Yeah, an invisible force yeets him into the cabinet.
That's right. Okay.
She uses the force.
That's a good term. Yeah. He starts.
He gets force shoved into the cabinet. There you go.
Which at this point, this is what I don't understand, right? In the film. So she's having a conversation with Nico, and she's telling him how, you know, her whole life she's been trying to make up for this one mistake that she made, right? We know what that one mistake is at this point. You can kind of figure it out. And that she still went to hell, even after, like, turning to religion and trying to be a good person. And so she has, like, these newfound powers that could really change the world if used for good. But instead, she's like, you know, I went to hell for one mistake, so why not make a bunch of others? And then she just proceeds throughout the entire film just going berserk. Which I'm like, okay, well, aren't you supposed to, isn't this like the turning point, like your second lease on life? Like, she didn't understand that at all. But like with the dog, the hyperthyroidism, it causes aggression. So I guess there was no opportunity at this point for her to be a good person.
Yeah, she missed her chance. So they, so the group basically starts questioning what happened to, where'd Nico go? And Zoe tells him, that he went to the bathroom.
But like, how do you not notice a crushed cabinet with blood coming out of it? That's my question.
It just seems like oversight. A pretty clean lab.
Maybe the lights were off. I don't know.
A little dark in there. They Frank and Clay do try to go use the elevator to. I think somebody said about going to get security. They were talking about it's getting too weird for them. So at this point, you only have Zoe and Eva. They're alone again. Oh, so Frank says they're discussing like how they're going to get out, and they say how they can't because of the it's like a lockdown procedure automated to prevent I guess something from escaping. Okay, yeah, that they were, yeah, the lab was on lockdown. And at this point, yeah, they're still trying to figure out what happened to, they're still arguing about what happened to Nico. While Clay's arguing with Zoe, his vape pen, she forces the vape pen down his throat, and Frank uses like a forceps to extract the vape pen while Zoe's just casually sitting back watching him. Basically choke on the vape pen.
The scene was kind of hard to watch. She literally took the saying, put that in your pipe and smoke it
right,
to its fullest extent.
And then Frank and Eva just both look back at her. Yeah, so the lights start, lights just start flickering everywhere. So at this point, Frank and Eva are scared. They can hear stuff moving around them. At one point, as the lights are flashing on and off, you do see Zoe staying behind them, and then once it becomes clear, all the stuff is all the furniture in the room are now just kind of like floating everywhere, and Zoe is controlling it,
kind of like Poltergeist, right? Am I right? We're hitting all the classics. Pretty soon we need like a head turning and vomit. Well, we did have the vomit exorcist.
We did have the vomit. Yep. So after everything settles, Eva was just on the ground, Zoe's gone. So Frank and Eva take off. So Frank has, I'm trying to think what he used. Was it adrenaline? I know he went to get a vial.
I just figured if they're like doing animal experiments, it's probably just a high dose of ketamine to stop the heart.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know what it actually was. He said whatever he got, he said it's enough to put her down.
Yeah. And they, I think they did, in the one room where they would have the cadavers, there was they were all humans in like body bags.
Yeah. So what's that about?
Right. That she,
was that another experiment that was going on?
Kind of confusing.
Maybe they're doing like necropsies on the brain or something.
Maybe Mr. Wallace has moved on to human trials.
Without the brain. Right. He's like, these ones have been dead for a week. Let's see what happens.
So Frank does see Zoe in the hallway, kind of just standing there with her head down. So he tries to sneak up with the syringe behind her, and she quickly turns around and telling her that he puts the syringe down, telling her, you look confused. And that's he starts talking to her, and she starts to it seems she's like reverting back to her old self in his eyes, and she starts to cry. And as she goes into, she has her hands like around his head, and she takes a hold of the side of his head, and then she goes back into her demonic possessed state as her eyes go black. And then
doesn't she hear his thoughts, and she realizes that he's like plotting against her?
I missed that part. Yes.
Yeah, because he's like trying to sweet talk her, and he's like, no, we can make this work. Yeah, no, we just need to get some rest or whatever. And then she's like holding on to his head, and then she can hear him be like, this bitch is crazy. She's going to kill all of us.
Right, yeah.
I better put this drug that's going to kill her right into her eyeball. I'm kidding. He didn't say that.
No, but.
But something along those lines.
Yeah, she did. I think she did ask if he still loved me.
Yeah.
But yeah, she did use her hands kind of like a vice and crush his head.
Yeah, that was intense, because his eyes, his face, which, how do they do that with actors? How do they get their face so red like that? Like, do you really just have to, they're like, okay, pretend like you're taking a massive dump and go. Because you could really give yourself a hernia that way.
Maybe they had the key grip
or a hemorrhoid. I'm sorry.
Go over and hold his head. Go squeeze his head real quick.
Yeah, it looked very realistic. Maybe there was like some CGI or something in there, because it
looked good.
It was very good. Yeah.
Yes.
Very good effects. And essentially, we don't see his brain get crushed or head get crushed, but we hear the breaking of the carrots, if you will. Or breaking of celery. Yes. I don't know what they use.
Good. I think actually I have seen that with that's one of the sound effects, celery. Broken bones.
Well, have you seen the movie Barbarian Sound Studio?
No.
Oh, okay. It's all about the guy that makes the sounds in horror films.
Really?
Yeah. It's kind of like a giallo film, which is like Italian horror. Mm-hmm. But he's like breaking celery and breaking watermelons and stuff when like bones get crushed. It's pretty interesting.
Oh, wow. I'll check it out then.
Yeah. It's a very slow movie, but it's kind of trippy.
Yeah, I'm definitely checking out. So we do, Zoe is back in the lab, and she's using that temporal gun to, she has it inside of her head. She was, I think she was pumping the last of whatever they had left of the serum into her.
Yeah, she's trying to juice up.
Yeah, juice jack and get powered up. And in the meantime, then you got Eva goes to get something else to load up the syringes. And then she goes on a little scavenger hunt to try to find Zoe. So as she's searching around the the research lab, she eventually gets the room. I guess just turns back into the dream where she saw the building fire and the people trying to get out. And she has she can see Zoe as a kid again. And she's basically kind of like stuck in the dream. So Eva goes down to tell young Zoe that, she takes the matches from her, which Zoe had in her hand, little Zoe. And she starts telling her that, this isn't your fault, that she tells the little girl that, tells little Zoe that you can open the door. And as they look back, you can see the fire is intensifying in the hallway. And then possessed demon Zoe comes down the hallway. She's like charred up on fire.
That was the thing that grabbed Eva earlier, right?
Yes.
Okay. Right?
I believe so.
Yeah. We didn't get a good glimpse, but right. Now we see that that is the burn victim is Zoe.
Yes.
As an adult.
As an adult. Yeah. So as a we have the images of the hands under the door, possessed Zoe's moving in, and child Zoe goes to the door where the hands are coming out underneath, and she opens the door. As she opens the door, there's like a bright white light, which I'm assuming is her crossing, the soul crossing over, and it jumps back to Eva, kind of like Pulp Fiction style, jamming a syringe into Zoe's chest. So it appears at this point, you know, with the syringe in her chest, that Zoe's kind of, it's worked. She came back. She's a human. And Zoe follows up, or Eva follows up with a second syringe to Zoe's neck. And then Zoe's just, I would say, dead, laying there on the ground, lifeless body. At this point, you can hear, like, in the distance, you know, there's first responders showing up. And one of the firefighters runs up to Eva to check on her. Now, you clearly do see the firefighter. It's a male, right? And the firefighter's trying to check on her, and she just hugs him. And I don't know what she looked at, because I did go back to the scene a few times. I couldn't figure out what Eva saw. She was looking at, I believe, the ceiling or the floor. And I mean, there was just a light in the floor. I don't know what she's seen. And it caused her to look at the firefighter, and she realizes that the firefighter was actually Zoe. And it looked like Zoe did grab her head to kind of do that hand vice crush. And you don't see it, but you do hear the bone cracking sound. And then,
this was a little confusing to me. Yeah. Can you please explain it to me like I'm five? What?
Yeah,
I'll let you continue and then we could discuss it.
Right. So we're starting to finish up. We're back in the lab, which is completely in disarray. Zoe has Frank's lifeless body on the exam table, and she starts extracting the serum from her body into the temporal gun again. And she injects Frank with the serum, and just as he comes back to life, the movie ends. There you go. That was and that was it. That was the end of the movie.
So, question.
Yeah.
So she had all of them dead, and she had them all laid out. Was she going to bring them all back?
That's what I thought.
Me too.
Because how much serum does she have left? And like, yeah, I don't know. And was there a second one?
I think there is a Lazarus too.
What?
Oh, there is? Okay.
I don't know. I was looking. I think I saw, but it could have maybe just a rumor.
Okay. Maybe, well, they set it up for a second one, obviously. This reminds me so much of like Frankenhooker. Oh my God. Oh my God. So many movie tie-ins with this movie. Yeah, definitely end scene of Frankenhooker. So Eva was in the nightmare with Zoe, convinces Zoe, little kid, to open the door, go through the bright light, essentially to escape her hell. And then Eva goes back into the real world, but then it's also Zoe who's still alive, because I guess she didn't kill her. Or I'm kind of confused as to what's reality at this point, when Zoe is now the fireman. So does that mean that Eva was now in hell, or that was her own personal hell? I don't know. Do you guys have any idea what's going on?
No. A lot of unanswered questions, I would say.
Okay. I mean, if you don't know, that's fine.
We can do this open-ended. I was just as confused as you, I think.
Yes, confusing.
Okay, all right. Well, again, hell? I'm going to chalk it up to deleted scene that explained everything.
Was she in a dream? Was it all an illusion created by Zoe?
Oh, did she create like a... Oh, maybe.
It's one of her many powers.
But again, it's like, why would you... Yeah, why would you introduce that now and just be like, oh, well, she can do anything. She's, you know, God, essentially, right? Because that's what the Lazarus effect is, right? Once you bring somebody back from the dead, you are now, you think that you're God.
Pretty much.
Okay.
All right. If you made it through the movie, or you skipped to this point in the show before you watched it, this is where we give our reviews and ratings on the movie, and we do grade on a 10 scale. From 0 to 10, 10 being the best, 0 being you hated it. And since this week's movie was picked by Azriel, we'll go ahead and let Ariel kick off her review and ratings. Seems like she got some more questions for us, maybe.
I think that's all the questions. I think I asked the questions as we were going through, but I don't have answers, and I'm fine if I don't have answers. But what did I think about this film? I can answer that. I thought this movie was pretty good. The jump scares were pretty good, in my opinion. They weren't too cheesy. When Donald Glover's face was right next to the dog, you're like, well, that dog's definitely waking up and barking in his face. But you didn't know when it was going to happen. And it dragged on for quite a bit. And then you thought, is it going to happen? Isn't? So there were some scenes like that where it kind of played with the whole trope of jump scares. I thought the acting was really great from everyone. I thought all the characters were very believable and not too stereotypical for horror films. I didn't feel like anyone was two-dimensional or maybe had a personality that just felt overdone. I do feel it was very stereotypically what is depicted for like the research environment. I feel this was kind of trying to be Stanford University for it being based in Berkeley, which Stanford is in Palo Alto, but close enough. And, you know, it's a huge, you know, research university with a bunch of medical labs. So I thought everyone, you know, was very well done. Donald Glover played the same character he played essentially in Interstellar. So he just played the grad student. There weren't that many effects for this movie, except for maybe just making her look creepy. There wasn't a lot of blood and guts, which is pretty surprising because I do like that a lot. But I think this movie was effective at being creepy in other ways. Very much like a possession film, but with supernatural powers and a lot of tie-ins to other films. Didn't really notice anything too terrible about the sound or the soundtrack, if there was even a soundtrack. I don't think there was. Sound effects were good. So, I mean, with all that said, there were some holes, right? There was some stuff that wasn't explained, so I can't give it like a super great score. So I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10 movie references.
All right. Hey, that's pretty good.
Honestly. Yeah, nice.
I do agree with you, Ariel, about the cast. The cast was great. Maybe underutilized for who they are. So that could have been I think their characters could have been developed a little more. I think the movie it goes by pretty quick. I think it's like less than an hour and a half, so it moves quick. They could have used some scenes to explain some things, and I think it would have made the film a lot better if they did. I think they touched on a lot of things that I would like to see them explore a little more in this movie, like what happens after you die. I mean, obviously we don't know, but you can explore that in a movie like this. And why she didn't have redemption in her life and she had to pay for a sin that she created that happened when she was a child. Could have explored that a little more. And after she came back, you know, what was her motivation for, you know, just destroying everything other than just destroying everything. So I think they left some cards on the table. They could explore, if they would explore those points for me personally, I would have enjoyed the movie more. But I did enjoy it. If you get a chance, stick it on your list. Watch it. I don't think you'll be disappointed. And I will give this one 6 vape pens to the throat out of 10.
Nice. Right.
You got to be careful with those vape pens, man. They can kill you.
Well, they can't explode in your face.
These things will
kill you. Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that.
I don't know if that still happens.
Man, those things are so dangerous.
Aside from the...
Oh, what's in it?
The negative effect of
that. Yeah, that'll take 20 years. You know, you just explode your face.
Oh, the holes in your heart? No, that'll take 5 years.
Plenty of time. I think you both, I mean, you both did a summed up, I think, as much as you could say about the movie. Confusing, I guess, is a good word to sum it up a little bit. But as you point out, the other aspects of the movie, as far as the dialogue, acting, I think it was all good. I enjoyed it. It was my first time watching it. You do see a lot of incorporated aspects or themes from other horror movies. And it's, you know, it's not something that hasn't been done before. But I think the big credit that I give to, like, the biggest amount of credit is that the director of the movie, this was, I think, his actual one of his first movies. He had two other ones. I think it was like a documentary and maybe a short film. But it was his first, I think, his first and only horror film. But I think he did a good job of just maybe poorly. It had a lot of potential, just maybe overall poorly executed. It could have been a lot better, kind of maybe fell short of its full potential in the direction it could have taken. Cause there was a lot of directions I think they could have taken the movie, but I did enjoy it. I think it's worth watching. And I would give the movie 7.1 zombie Zoe head crushes.
All right. That's pretty good. So that was The Lazarus Effect from 2015. If you have a suggestion for a movie that we may or may have not covered, like me, I forget, done so many, love it. You can send us an email at storiestodismember@gmail.com. You can also find us on social medias, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Just search for Stories to Dismember. You know, you can also leave us a message or send us a text message at 817-405-4196. Love to hear from you guys. Get some more good ideas, maybe a monthly theme or just a movie you would like us to see, good or bad. Take it all.
Yeah, we're running out of themes. You guys got to help us out.
Resurrection. The Lazarus Effect. It's got a cool poster. Olivia Wilde, black eyes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is a really cool poster. What's the next film on the docket?
The next film coming up is Ariel's pick, your pick.
Oh, yeah.
It is the 1931 movie Frankenstein.
Yeah, I think it's time for another classic. Yeah. We need to, you know, throw in a classic every now and then.
Frankenstein.
Igor.
Yeah. Marty Feldman, rest in peace. All right.
And Gene Wilder, rest in peace.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I think probably all of those people except the lady.
Cloris Leachman?
Cloris Leachman passed away, but I'm talking about the
my bad.
The other one. The one that did the bride. I forgot her name. She was married to Mel Brooks. Oh, sorry, lady.
I didn't know that.
I think we might have to do
it. You didn't know she was married to Mel Brooks?
No.
Yeah. That's why she was in a lot. Well, not why she was in a lot of his films, but they worked very well together.
Interesting.
We might do a comedy award. Well,
mm-hmm. Yes. Like yes. All yeah. Right. So I'm excited to rewatch this one. The last time I saw it was when I was a little kid. So I have forgotten the whole thing.
Back in the 1900s.
I was going to say, I saw this when the movie came out.
I saw this in the late 1900s.
Only cost me a penny when this movie came out.
They're showing one of them talkie pictures again.
Okay. All right. Well, that's all I got. You guys got anything?
Don't do drugs, kids. Especially DMT and Lazarus serum.
All right.
Don't vape.
Don't vape.
Yes. No vape.
Yes. Put it down right now. All right. We'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Stories to Dismember podcast. Please be sure to tell your friends, subscribe, and leave a rating. You can contact us at storiestodismember@gmail.com, and we'd love to hear from you. You can also follow us on TikTok at Stories to Dismember. The music for Stories to Dismember is provided by Windfeather. We can't wait to hang out with you next time. Bye-bye.